Hi everyone, and welcome to my creative podcast. My name is Cindy, I'm the host of this show, and today I would like to introduce you to Maud. Maud Passini is a graphic designer who created her own company named Manureva Studio. She specializes in brand identity, and today she talks about how to embrace our quirkiness to emphasize our own style. Hi Maud!
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for taking a little bit of your time for coming and talking with me on the show. I'm really happy to have you here. So before we start, and for the people who don't know you, can you please introduce yourself? Can you tell me your name, where you live, and what is your job?
Of course, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really flattered that you asked me. I'm sure you'll have some amazing guests, so it's an honor. So my name is Maud Passini. I'm French. I was born in France, and then I moved to New York about 8 years ago for my career. I had just finished school, and I work as a graphic designer at my own company now, so my title is creative director.
Nice. Really nice. And yeah, I think that's how I know and met you, is through this beautiful French community in the United States and mainly New York City. So it's really nice to have you here.
Yeah.
Do you remember the mini you when you were 10 years old? Do you remember mini Maud and how, which human you were back then?
Yeah, I was a really lively, excited, active kid. I was always playing sports, doing stuff, like being loud. I was not shy. I had a lot of friends and stuff up until 8 or 10 years old. And then I changed schools. I went to a different school, like further away from home. And I think that was a shock to me. I became more introverted and shy. Which was a big change. And then from there, I don't know if it's just the school change, but from there, or just growing up, but I became like a bit more introspective, slowed down, maybe a bit more feminine in my interests and stuff. But yeah, I was generally just a very excited person.
Do you remember where they moved you from school to school? Like,
no, I think it was just... We changed classes. We went to a bigger level, and I think my parents preferred the education at the other school. I'm not sure. It's probably complicated.
So it was just leaving you cocoon, or it was just meeting with new people? There was like a little change for you, and
yeah, exactly. Just like this big change of like leaving your friends, leaving your cocoon. I think it was a much bigger school. And I think that I just realized a few years ago, actually pretty recently, what an impact it had on me. So that's why I mention it, I think.
Yeah,
it's pretty formative experience.
But did he change any of your interests? For example, you just say like you like, you know, outgoing and loving sports and being loud. So do you think that changed your interest too? Do you feel like you were still into sports, for example, or you switch to drawing, for example?
Yeah, so I think a bit of both. I have always kept this part of me that's just very active and loves doing stuff. And it's really something that I've gotten back in adulthood. I would say that I'm now like getting some of my confidence back that I had when I was a young
that's
kid,
good.
Which is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, like this change of scenery and like making me more shy also benefited me, because I discovered drawing, reading a lot, like made really good friends who I had like really interesting relationships with. So, you know, like both things can be beneficial. It's just, yeah, a different experience.
Yeah. Do you remember what you wanted to do when you would be an adult?
Yeah, I remember the first job I ever wanted to have, and that was actually for many years. I really wanted to be an archaeologist.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so just like finding stuff from old civilizations, discovering things. I think that, yeah, I was really curious. And for the longest time, I wanted to be that. And then I think I also always loved swimming and like being in the sea and sailing. So I kind of wanted to be like a professional diver or like an oceanographer or something like that. But then, yeah, as I grew up, I was interested in more things. And for a big part of my teenagehood or being a teenager, I wanted to be a writer secretly. I would never admit it to anyone, but I really wanted to be a writer, like something creative like that.
So what led you to becoming a graphic designer?
Yeah, so I actually discovered drawing, I think I would say pretty late. It's actually not that late when you think about it now. I was probably like 10 or 12.
So late.
At the time I was like, I already had friends who were taking drawing classes and stuff. So I never considered myself being a good drawer. So my mom, to give you context, was a fine artist. So she was always creating, painting, making sculptures, like really, really creative. Mm. And she would always take me to exhibitions. She put art into our family a lot, which was really interesting.
That's really, yeah.
And one day I remember specifically, it was probably like a rainy day, and she took my sister, myself, and my brother. And she gave us a drawing class, and we had to draw a portrait. I just remembered I drew Leonardo DiCaprio. Sorry, just a fun anecdote. And anyways, she like taught us how to create a portrait, and I really, really enjoyed that time. I made something that I was really happy with, and that's like from that point on, I was like, oh, actually, I really like drawing, and it's my thing. So nice. That's a really long answer, but yeah. So from there, I had a lot more interest into the arts. But for the longest time, I couldn't really figure out what you could do for a living when you just liked drawing. And I wasn't even a painter. Like, I couldn't become a fine artist. I don't think I would have been that interested in that, because I think being a fine artist requires a lot of, not self-motivation, but like induce your own work, if that makes sense. Like, as a graphic designer, I have like clients requesting things, and I have constraints. And I think I didn't really see myself just like being an artist and creating just for the sake of it.
Yeah, but that's interesting. So you're saying you don't consider yourself an artist in those days?
I think I am a kind of artist. I'm definitely creative, but I'm not a fine artist. Like,
yeah,
I think that's a different thing.
That makes sense. But so, as a kid, what was your biggest inspiration, you would say? Or you, if you had more, you know, your biggest inspiration, what they were?
You mean like professionally or in life?
Just in life, yeah. And led you to, you know, to this path.
Well, when I try to think about, like, I could find inspirations that make more sense now in relation to what I do for a living. But I remember when I was much younger and like didn't really know what graphic design was, my inspiration were just women that it's going to sound cliche, but like women paving their own path. My dad and I were really into sailing. So he's the rest of my family. We sail a lot, especially together. And he really, I don't know if it was conscious, but he would always show me these female sailors who really were super innovative and like the first women to, I don't know, like cross the Atlantic or go around the world, like this kind of thing. And so that really, like, these females were kind of like my role models. Not really consciously, I wasn't like, oh, they're females, so I can identify with them more. But I think I definitely identified with them more because they looked a lot more like me, which is why it's so important to have diversity of icons. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, my icons back then were Samantha Davis, Elle MacArthur, these kinds of women. And then I also really loved writers like Jane Austen, Louisa May Alcott, who I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but the writer of Little Women. People who created their own thing and lived off of it and were really impressive.
I see. So it was not Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
No, I...
Leo was not part of it. It's fine. I think it's... So today you're a graphic designer. You created your own company, Manureva Studio, if I pronounce that well. with a little French twist. Tell us what is this actual job? What is graphic designer? What is that?
Yeah, so as a graphic designer, you can do a lot of things. I went to school specifically for graphic design and illustration. So I started by studying typography, composition, just design in general, using colors, basically translating visuals that you have in your head onto paper or your computer screen in order to express ideas. So as a graphic designer for brands, I mostly create visual identities. So a company will come to me because they need to give a face to their idea and their vision. They have a really great product or a website or a concept or their community, they're a theater, and they want to have a face, to appeal to people and to show who they are visually. It's basically creating a visual language, giving an actual face to a concept. So we usually create logos, the color palette for the company. We then create the design for their website, all types of collateral that they may need, you know, like booklets, posters, Instagram posts. It's very diverse.
But so there's something I find very interesting, mainly for you work, is because pretty much someone will come saying, oh, I own, I don't know, like a furniture company. I want to have this type of logo. And yet I always find your own touch, your own signature to the design. So how do you get your own style while trying to define someone else's identity? I feel like it's super interesting because I can tell when it's your work, you know, and yet it's for different companies and different identities.
Thank you. I really appreciate that you would say that. I think it means that I'm doing something right. If you can recognize, you were talking specifically about me, right? Not you. So, yeah, and it's also like kind of the $1 million question. I remember in school, we were all, like all the students were like worried about like finding their style and feeling like if you don't have a specific style, you're not as cool. I think honestly, I'm not sure how it comes about. It's not something that you really do on purpose. It's just everybody has their own point of view on life, the way they interpret things, the way they consume content and recreate it, basically. I think that comes from your personal experiences, your inspirations, your everything that's inside you. And I think that's kind of what is artistic about our profession. And then the ability to apply that to a specific client is the professional side of our profession. In order to really be specific to the client we're working with, I do a lot of background research. I try to put myself in their shoes. I talk to them. I ask a ton of questions. Sometimes I ask them for visual references or what they have in mind. We just do a really long process of researching what is best for them to really execute their vision, but also surpass it, not just create what they have in mind, but kind of like surprise them. Oh, and nice. we create together a visual language that we can then take to the next level to create visual things that will fit the brand.
Yeah. How do you overcome, you know, when you send your clients a mock-up, how do you overcome the feeling of, oh, what if it's not the right thing? What if they don't like it?
I know. That's a very important question, especially if we're talking to teenagers and younger people. I'm 30 now, so obviously I have a lot more experience, and I can only say that time helps a lot. Be patient sometimes. And I still have those moments of doubt, like so much, but I had them so much more when I was 20, when I was 18, 14. So I just know now that it goes away partly with time and experience. But if I really need to overcome like insecurity, feeling insecure, I recently found out that I need to talk about it openly. I had like a really difficult client situation a couple months ago, and I felt like a huge failure. because the client didn't appreciate what I had done. And I had worked so hard. And like, it felt like everything was in place for us to create something that they would like, and they hated it. And it really came from their personal appreciation of it. It wasn't like a very professional point of view. So it really just like made everything like kind of personal and difficult. And so I took a deep breath. Obviously, like I knew I had feelings around it, so I kind of let them go. That's important to recognize your feelings. But I also knew that it wasn't correct to take it personally. I was taking it personally because I couldn't really help myself, and that's something I still need to work on. But I knew that aside from that, it wasn't a representation of my worth, just of like how we fit with the client. And yeah, just talk about it, be open, don't feel shame. I think shame is something that can exist not only, but like more easily if it's hidden. You know, there's this saying that shame disappears when it sees the light of day or something like that. I think that's true. And I think for me, like feeling like a failure and like feeling stuck is associated to shame. So yeah, to overcome that. And so yeah, after like all these feelings and taking a deep breath, I go back to the brief and I go back to what I should do. And I try to analyze the situation and try to think of the next steps, you know, just keep going it's really important. Take it one step at a time, one day at a time.
I remember because I know my husband went through a lot of creative work he has to get done for clients too. And I think it's something he taught me is there is a way also to communicate with creative people. You cannot just say what you've done is bad. You have to give them some detailed feedback in order for them to redo some work without necessary feeling like they did the worst thing in the whole galaxy. And I think we can also leave a message here is you need to find a way, you need to realize behind a PDF you might receive from a creative person, there is loads of hours of thinking and doing, and you got to be careful with the word you're going to use. Sure. Anyway, I think it was just my point here. Let's dive into your creativity. What is, if you would have one, what is your favorite part of your job?
So in terms of creativity and what it brings me, I think that my favorite part is starting from almost a blank page and doing the research and doing the work to find an idea and a concept, which I then develop and deepen over weeks and weeks to finally become a full brand identity. It's very satisfying. You know, I find tidbits of inspiration here and there, and I then turn them into like a whole graphic system that has a meaning and a structure and a concept behind it. That's when, like, that's the part of the work when I feel the most like an artist, because I'll have an idea and I'll translate it into something visual.
Do you have to do like a mood board or something to like compile all those rough ideas together? Or it's something that the client, like, do you require the client to send you just a bunch of files with like what you like the most, the color palettes, all that?
I don't require the client to do that because I think some of them would love to. Some of them sometimes do it spontaneously. I don't think it's their job. And also, I kind of don't want to, like I said earlier, I want to surprise the client. Obviously, I want to kind of translate the vision that they have in their head. But if it's too specific, then they will be stuck in what they suggested. And so I do a mood board with the information that I gathered, and they can tell me like, this works, this doesn't work, and this works. And so I have all the elements to make sure that we are speaking the same language.
I see.
And also, like, to go back to your question about what I prefer about my job, it's really important to mention that I love working with the client. Like I just said, like translating their vision, you know, like giving a face to their baby, to their project, which is sometimes like a very important project that they're putting into the world. And that's going to help improve people's lives.
Yeah.
That's so satisfying. That's a really huge part of it.
You feel much more confident. You're like, okay, this is defined. I define my own professional identity. I think it's very important. What is, you think today, what you would say is your biggest accomplishment professionally? I mean,
yeah. So as a teenager, as a high schooler, I didn't have that much ambition. My professional path, I saw it as just a means to make a living and be okay. And I felt like if I worked hard, I would make enough money, but I really didn't think about how much it would fulfill me. So my biggest accomplishment is that I do something that I love for a living. It's really, I'm so excited to work every single day. So that's huge for me. You know, when I got into graphic design school and understood what graphic design is, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I found something that I love so much and I'm going to be able to do it for a living. That's huge. More recently, I brought in my husband in the company. He helps me as a managing director in all things not creative. So I'm going to be able to like focus on the creative side of things. But I think it's huge for me to feel like I accomplished that. It allows us to both work together on something that we love, on something that we were passionate about. It gives us freedom. And I would never have dreamt that I would be able to do that. So don't be scared to be ambitious. I wasn't necessarily. And so now I'm surprised at how lucky I am. But that's really
cool. Is an interesting subject that you bring here is because before starting Manureva Studio, you were an employee, let's say for for another company. Mm-hmm. How you felt about this switch from like, okay, because I know some people love being employees because it's easier. I'll say that it's less challenging for sure. How was the move from like, you know, did you wake up and being like, okay, I'm done. I'm better than that. I want to do my own things now.
So I only had one full-time job after I left school before I became a freelancer. I think that's fairly rare in our generation and in my type of work. I worked with them for 4 years because I absolutely loved them. They felt like my family, especially being so far away from home. Yes. And so for the longest time, I was like, I would never be able to leave this company. I kind of knew in the back of my head that eventually I wanted to be able to be a freelancer so I would have more freedom, work with the clients that I really wanted to work with. So I kind of always had that in the back of my head, but I was like, I'm never going to be able to leave. These people are amazing. Yeah. And they really, really were. But eventually, after a few years, I had a lot of requests from potential clients and people outside who wanted to work with me as a freelancer because I had like started sharing my work, or like friends knew about my work and all these types of things. So word got out that I was a designer and I could help. So after a few years, I had so many requests from outside people that I felt like if I quit my job and was a full-time freelancer, I could make a living. And I remember the first day that I was a freelancer, it didn't feel different. Like I didn't feel like I was jumping off of a building. It just felt like a weekend day because like I already was working so much on the weekends. It just felt like a Sunday, but on a Monday, working at my desk, like trying to do as much work as possible in a day. And I think I wasn't taking a ton of risk. I had savings. I was married. So, you know, like you share a lot of expenses. I didn't have kids or anything. So honestly, it does make things easier.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate for that, but I wasn't very scared. I knew that if I worked really hard, I would be able to make enough money to make it. So that felt huge. And when I met my financial goal during the year, I was incredibly proud and satisfied of myself.
I bet you were, as you should, honestly. And I really personally really like your work. So it's I don't know, to me you feel like looking at you like kind of an example, mainly when you like, you know, you come like a little, not to minimize you, but you come as a little French person in this big country and you're like, wow.
I know.
So it's really setting an example, and I think it's really great. And if you look back at Mini Mode, What would you say to her to guide her through this journey of finding her creative path? You know, you talked about like school being, I guess, harder because you imposter syndrome, as we call it, when you feel like you're not going to make it, might be even more in place. Like what you would say to Mini Mode?
Well, it's always easier to say now, but I really wish I could tell her to be more confident, not giving to peer pressure. I think your quirks and your weirdness is really what makes you special and what gives you something extra to be an asset in the workforce or in a company or just in life. And I wish I hadn't doubted myself that much as a kid and then as a teenager and as a student in art school, which can be very intimidating. Mm. I was paralyzed by what other people thought of me when I most admired people who really did not care about what other people thought of them and created their own style and their own system and all of that. So I think leaning to your special skills and what's special about yourself.
Embrace your quirkiness. I think it's a good message.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I like that. And to end up our conversation, Maud, do you have a favorite, I would say, brand image in mind that you would like to share? Like, what is for you? Don't tell me McDonald's, but do you have like a favorite, like brand image or logo or anything?
It's a really tough question. I'm sure I'll like wake up tonight and be like, oh my God, I should have said that. But I can think. So first of all, I want to say, I think it's great that you said brand image and not just logo, because a lot of people kind of see a brand as its logo. You know, obviously like the Nike logo is amazing, but if it wasn't associated with such a cool brand, which puts a lot of effort into their image, nobody would remember that logo as much. So I think a brand is so much more than a logo. It's your voice, your mission, the way you present yourself. But I remember I think one of the first logos that I really noticed as a kid is the Quiksilver logo for some reason, you know, like the surfer wave over like the mountain. I was not a surfer at all, but I think it was so memorable and really cool. And so, I kind of want to mention that one because I think it's so timeless. It's incredible that it's still the same logo since the late 70s and it works very well. And it really had a big impact on my teenagehood. I really liked it and wanted all their clothes.
Yeah. It's so big in France. I remember, I think my first internship was working at Quiksilver. So it's very fun.
No way. So lucky. Oh, I would have loved.
I think I was spending all my money on just rebuying their stock. So
I'm so glad we can connect on that.
Love it. No, honestly, thank you so much, Maud, for taking some time to come on the show. It was really fun to talk to you. And if people want to... I'll leave all your credential and all your information on the description. And just as a reminder, your beautiful studio is Manureva Studio. I'm repeating myself, but that's okay. Thank you so much, Maud.
Thanks so much.
This is the end of this episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. My takeaway from this conversation is that you might feel intimidated at first to find your own identity as an artist. But what Maud really emphasizes here is to truly embrace your own uniqueness and quirkiness in order to become the creative you want to be. But let me know what your takeaway was from this episode. I'd love to hear your ideas and thoughts. You can reach out at mycreativeclass.com. Thank you so much again to Maud for her time and great tips. If you like this show, please share it with your friends and family. Even the old uncle you have will do the trick. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.